be.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Hey, good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here for more of the Outdoorsman Radio Show. We heard from Richard in New Zealand last hour, and we heard from Chuck, who's on vacation down in the Outer Banks, listening in North Carolina. So it's pretty interesting to see where everybody's listening from. And if you're listening from somewhere away from Maryland or away from the local area, you know, Delaware, Pennsylvania, out of state, out of country, give us an email here, ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. We'd like to know where you're listening and how. A lot of people are listening on the app on their phones. Some people are listening to the radio. Some people listen on their computer. And some even listen on Alexa. So it's all nice. But right now we have John Mulliken, who's been a guest before. And John has a title with the Maryland Department of Natural Resources as Field Operations Manager in the Freshwater Fisheries Program. And we'll say good morning, John. How are you?
Good morning, Alan. I'm very, very good. Thank you.
Good to talk to you again, and always a pleasure. You've been with us a few times, and I've actually been able to fish with you on a couple of occasions for those wonderful walleyes up there on the, as you call it, the non-tidal portion of the Potomac River.
Yeah, we have a lot of great fishing on the up and on the non-tidal portion of the river, which most anglers just refer to the non-tidal portion as the Upper Potomac.
Upper Potomac, right? Upper Potomac, Lower Potomac. Where's the tidal break line? Where do you see that? Somewhere in D.C. or?
Yes, it's just downstream of Little Falls.
Little Falls, got it, got it. Yep, and downstream, of course, you've got. Became famous with the bass fishing tournaments and so forth down there for its largemouth bass population, and of course back in the day the shad fishery, and then even the blue catfish has put the tidal Potomac on the map down that way. But what people don't know is there's some great crappie fishing down there as well. But you're talking about the non-tidal portion part, which. Basically, Potomac River is the entire southern border of Maryland, isn't it?
Yes, it forms the southern border of Maryland for over 200 miles.
Right.
And it's consistently been the most popular fishing destination for freshwater anglers.
Right.
And the reason for that is it has a great diversity of fishing opportunities. In the far western part of the state, in Garrett County, we have a trout stocking program upstream of Jennings Randolph Lake where we have several different management areas for trout. Downstream of Jennings Randolph Lake, that's the tailwater fishery. And that's really a unique fishery in Maryland is that you can have a western style float trip for trout in the North Branch there. It's large
right.
enough and cold enough that through the summer that we really have an excellent fishery there for both wild trout and stock trout. And then the river, as they will gradually transition into a cool water fishery, and you'll find the presence of smallmouth bass, walleye. And then as you get further downstream, we also have more catfish, channel catfish, muskie populations, and now we also have an expanding population of invasive flathead catfish.
Right. Oh, a good. That was going to be one of my questions. You do have the invasive flathead in that portion of the river now. I know it's in the Susquehanna. How far up does the flathead go?
The furthest upstream point that we've documented is below Dam 5 near Clear Spring.
Wow.
They're actually quite numerous from Dam 5 down to Harper's Ferry.
Wow.
And, you know, of course...
They're very prolific, aren't they?
They are. An individual was captured during a fishery survey back in the early 2000s.
Right.
And we hadn't seen another one since. But we knew they were obviously present. But within the last 5 years or so, the population has really expanded, rapidly.
Do you think people are transplanting them from other areas?
That's, a possible avenue that they would get into the river. Probably the most likely avenue. We certainly encourage, anglers not to move any fish.
Right.
It's illegal to do so, but, for reasons of introducing invasive species as well as potential pathogens and, other issues, we encourage anglers to never move fish from one location to another.
Right, right. I get it. But that's what people don't understand. You know, well, I like to fish for catfish, but I got to travel from Hagerstown down to the Susquehanna to catch a flathead, so I'm going to catch a couple and keep them in my live well, and when I get home, I'm going to put them in the river, and maybe they'll expand in the river, and I won't have to travel so far.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of it, and, unfortunately, people don't realize some of the consequences of that.
I like to fish for snakeheads. So I got to travel to the eastern shore to catch a snakehead or down river, and I don't like to go that far, so I'm going to catch a snakehead and bring it up to my place to fish.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that does happen, but snakeheads are also very adept on their own at expanding their range.
No question.
And they definitely seek to do that at every opportunity.
Have you seen snakeheads up in the river, up on your end?
They are just... we do have some snakeheads in the upper Potomac. They have become established in the CNO Canal, downstream of Violet's Lock to Great Falls, which is, of course, upstream of the natural barrier provided by the falls.
Right.
And because there's a lot of water exchange between the river and the canal system, and especially during floods like we had this spring, there's ample opportunity for fish in the canal to enter into the river, and there have been several reports of snakeheads now in the non-tidal Potomac upstream of Great Falls. So that certainly opens up their range considerably.
Yes, it does. Well, you know, the canal system is similar to, in some degree, to the ditches on the eastern shore that connect all the brackish water down there, you know, and those snakeheads use those ditches as a super highway to get from one waterway to the next down there. And I imagine that the C&D is probably the same type of thing, that they're able to just, you know, up and down the river wherever they have access, they can get in and get in and out. And you know, it's a terrible mess, but, they're here and they're not going to go away and they won't for a long, long time. So. But anyway, let's not talk about the invasive stuff as much as we want to talk about the good stuff. Channel cats. Let's talk a little bit about channel catfish. We brought flatheads. We got snakeheads. Of course, you got bullheads in the river as well. But the channel cat is the money fish when it comes to eating anyway, that and walleyes. But let's talk about channel cats. Are you involved actively on managing channel cats or looking at channel cats, or are they just kind of there?
Well, we don't manage them as actively or have surveys that are as extensive as we do for other species, but we do have a monitoring program that we do. At least we'll survey the river at established sites and electrofish for catfish. This is a night survey. And we conduct that survey at least once every 5 years.
Right. When was the last one?
The last one, I believe, was in 2015.
Okay.
I believe.
Yep. That's cool. So at least you're keeping an eye on it. And, you know, those are Those are a fish that are very popular to catch and keep and eat, and seem to be plenty of them in the river. And it's a stable population, doesn't need a whole lot of management, I would imagine, because they've been there forever and a half.
Yeah, they've been there a long time. They're well established through all portions of the non-tidal river until the, you know, further western Maryland where the water's too cold, you don't see as many. But throughout the warm water sections of the river, they're well established. They're established in the tributaries.
Yep.
Actually, our latest survey, the catch rates were higher than the previous survey. So the population is at least, appears to be stable for now, although in some sites, the catfish survey, the latest survey showed it's some of the sites that, where previous survey we didn't collect any flathead catfish, at the Shepherdstown site, they made up nearly half of our collection.
Wow.
You know, there is a dynamic there where the flatheads, are potentially impacting, channel catfish.
Channel cat numbers. Wow. Do they overtake the nesting habitat and so forth? I mean, channel cats tend to spawn like in holes in the river and along structure and inside, you know, tires and inside pipes and things that have been, you know, discarded along the river. I mean, they like that kind of habitat to kind of, you know, guard their eggs and so forth and for egg laying and spawning. Have you found that the flatheads are kind of overtaking that kind of cover?
Well, they're both cavity nesters.
Okay.
You know, seeking cavities in the bank or, you know, crevices in, you know, rock structure, boulder mm-hmm. cavities and things and such. So there certainly is potential for competition for habitat. And also, the flatheads, the larger flatheads will actually prey on, channel catfish.
Okay.
Being a species that, you know, the
top tier predator, basically.
Very predatory. And they're, of all the catfish species, they're probably the most predatory. And they're most likely to impact the fish species that occupy the same type of habitats.
I got
it. So bullheads and channel catfish can be impacted.
At one time were the top were at one time were the top dog, and then the flatheads came in and decided to eat all the competition. Kinda. I got it. All right. Well, let's talk about some more pleasanter stuff. More pleasanter. Did you like that? We've got walleye, and we've got muskellunge. And we've got smallmouth bass. Take your pick. Let's talk about one of them.
I enjoy all three of them. They're, smallmouth are probably my favorite species. And, we can talk about smallmouth.
Let's take a break and come back and talk about smallmouth and walleyes and northern pike. How's that sound?
That sounds great.
We'll do that first. Okay. Thanks, John. Hang in there. Hey, folks. You like crabs? Well, and you like good times? Well, we combine the two with Good Times Crab House. Right there on Liberty Road, 8001 Liberty Road, just a minute off the Beltway. If you're headed west off the Beltway towards Randallstown, it'll be on your left headed eastbound. Yeah, it's the best way I can describe it. It's Good Times Crab House, the Spurry family from the Eastern Shore. They own Chesapeake Landing Restaurant and Bay 100 Seafood. They've been in the crab and seafood business for over 35 years. Got a nice little spot there in St. Michael's, and now they've brought that Eastern Shore focus right over here to Baltimore. You know that? They've got, you name it, they've got, of course, steam crabs, local oysters, crab meat, Gulf shrimp, variety of fresh fish, and Alaska snow crab legs. Right there on Liberty Road. And you know what? The Crab Feast catering arm of Good Times, they'll handle your on-site crab feast. Just call them up. Tell them how many people you expect. They'll bring the crabs. They'll steam them. Anything from a family reunion to a firehouse fundraiser to a church fundraiser, you got it. Good Times will handle the good times, and here's the number you call, 443-657-7187. That's 443-657-7187. Look for Good Times on Facebook for their daily specials and weekend deals. For Good Times and Good Crabs, it's Good Times Crab House, 443-657-7187. Time for me to tell you about Chesapeake Outdoors. Right down there on the eastern shore of Maryland, right across the Bay Bridge, you go about a mile and look for exit 39B. That's Dominion Road. Dominion Road, that's on your right-hand side. You'll go past the sign for Chesapeake Outdoors, and you will see the store before you hit the exit. You turn off the exit at the Exxon, go around the block, and you're right in the parking lot of Chesapeake Outdoors. Now, what do they carry there? Well, what don't they is the question. Rods and reels and tackle, every type of crabbing supply. They got the white boots. They got the extra tough boots. They've got the Grunden gear if you want to look like a waterman. They've got all that stuff. If you want to just, you know, protect yourself from the elements, that's just the same stuff. If you're a hunter, they've got the banded camouflage. It's a great new brand out there in the market. Guns, ammo, any kind of game call, you name it. They have crossbows like Raven. They've got Excalibur. They've got 10 point and more. They've got the Matthews and Mission bows. Yeti cooler. Costa sunglasses for the summertime. Bubba blade knives if you like to fillet and release. And a full line of live and frozen bait. Everything. Just, I can't name it all in a minute commercial. So you need to go there and see it. It's Route 50 East, exit 39B, Dominion Road on Kent Island, 410-604-2500. It's called Chesapeake Outdoors. Right up here in the Baltimore area, we've got Clyde Sports Shop, located at 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. Been a long, long, long time sponsor of the Outdoors and Radio Show. We stopped in the other day with our son-in-law, and he was drooling over all the Browning firearms. And there's some rebates on some Brownings right now, too. You want to take a look at that? Stop by and see what they've got. They got the A5. I'm going to have one of these days, an A5 shotgun. No question about it, I will have one. They've got the BPS pump shotgun as well. Bottom ejection, 12 and 10-gauge models. Even have a 12 and 20-gauge deer models. And, of course, they're available all the way up to a 410, all the way up to a 10-gauge from one end of the spectrum to the other. The Maxis, if you're looking for a new waterfowl shotgun, this auto loader is waterfowl hunting perfection, 3 or 3.5-inch chambers. Full camo, power drive gas system reduces the recoil. And then if you're into the shotgun sports and you want a nice over and under, or even just for in the field, for upland birds or rabbit hunting or whatever, it's a 725 sporting clay, also available in a field model. Perfect blend of beauty and performance. All the Browning guns are available at Clyde Sports Shop. Again, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. Phone number 410-242-6108. 24/7. A fishing hotline is 247-FISH. Where are they biting? What are they biting on? 247-FISH. That'll get you the pre-recorded information, and you will enjoy your trip or your conversation with Clyde Sports Shop. This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex spray-on bedliners. Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt it. Choose the Linex Premium or the Linex Extra. Both look great. Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, you get it. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie, 410-789-0199. 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. Linex. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com.
3 minute stations,
phone numbers, and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
He said, I'll love you till I die. She told him you.
And now more from Alan Ellis and the Outdoorsman Radio Show on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Slowly by. All right, we're with John Mollick. And John, tell us your title, if you would, please.
I'm the field operations manager for the Freshwater Fisheries Program.
You're the head guy.
Well, I'm not the head guy, no.
Yeah, you're the guy next to the guy.
Yes, I guess you could say that. I have the pleasure of working with all of our regional staff for our field projects and monitoring efforts and surveys across the state. So I'm very fortunate that I get to really, in this position, see really what Maryland has to offer in freshwater fisheries from the western mountains to the eastern shore. And we're really fortunate. We have a lot of great fisheries and a lot of diversity. Any kind of fishing, that you're interested in, we probably have it somewhere in the state.
No question about it. And of course, you live up there in western Maryland. You live up there on the Potomac, and you focus on that, and you've got the perfect boat, and I've been on it for the river up there, and I said we're going to talk about smallmouth, walleyes, and muskie in any order you like, and you picked smallmouth. So let's talk about the smallmouth fishery on the upper river.
Okay, yeah, the smallmouth were a lot of anglers may be interested in find that smallmouth are not native to the river. They were introduced in the late 1800s, and from there they found the river to their liking and have spread throughout the whole watershed. And really, the Potomac is known for its smallmouth, and they're the most popular sports fish on the river, and for good reason. They're, if anybody who's caught smallmouth know that they're just a joy to catch. They're
pound for pound, they're just spectacular.
Yeah, they're just a lot of fun to catch, and they can be caught year round, throughout the seasons, and they're widely available. And probably one of the reasons that the upper Potomac is so popular with freshwater anglers in Maryland and even the surrounding states is that, since it forms our southern boundary for 200 miles, it's accessible.
Yes.
At least some portion of it is very accessible to just about everybody.
No question. And, of course, smallmouth are fun from a boat, but you don't need a boat to reach them. You can fish from shore. You can wet wade, which is my favorite form of fishing. And, the river's not that strong or that deep in many areas where you can access those fish. You just wade out there in the middle of the river and, do some top water or do some jig fishing or do some live bait fishing. And smallmouth are always readily available to take a bait.
Right, and you're right. That's wading is if you don't have a boat, you can still get in on the Potomac smallmouth fishing. There's
right
throughout the length. There's areas of the river that are shallow enough that under the correct flows, lower summertime flows, you can wade in the water and keep cool at the same time. And
I love it, man.
Have good fishing.
Exactly.
Myself and. It's a good for, cooling off after work. You can, it doesn't have to be complicated.
No, it's very simple to go smallmouth fishing. I mean, grew up fishing for them, in Pennsylvania, learned to love them. Still love them, and fish the Potomac. And like you said, it's a year-round deal. If you want to fish for them in the spring when they're spawning, you know there's potential there to catch some awful big ones. But the old-time smallmouth guys up there love November. They said, "Yeah, you guys go ahead and go." Deer hunting. We're going out in the river, and they did that and had a wonderful time. So in November, there's some big fish available in November too. So
yeah, that's all good. That's a conflict I have every year come fall. There's so many good outdoor activities to get into, but as you mentioned, that is one of the best times of the season.
Yep.
To catch large smallmouth.
Large smallmouth. Yep.
As the temperatures drop in the river, once they get down in, into the low 40s, mid 40s,
right?
Most of the bass you catch will be larger fish. They'll be fish over 12 inches, and of course that's when a lot of the biggest fish of the year, and if they're typically their condition has rebounded from the summertime, and they're heavy fish.
Yep.
And it's just also a beautiful time to be out on the river.
Yep, a lot of leaves in the river, and the fish don't bite that hard. You got to watch for that. You got to watch for that line just to move a little bit. And, if it feels like a leaf hit your line, then set the hook, because
right.
it could be a smallmouth just sucking in your bait and moving on up. And I'll tell you,
there are times when other offerings like suspended jerk baits can really shine in the fall. They can be really effective, but as you get later into the late fall and the cooler temperatures, it's definitely a jig fishing game. So
no question.
Like you said, paying attention and the hits will not be savage strikes. It'll be more like a slight tap.
Yeah. Slight tap, little fish sucking your bait in, and everybody's happy when you set the hook, even if you hook a leaf, but sometimes that leaf is a big old smallmouth, no question about it. So it's all good. Top baits for this time of year, for the summertime action. A lot of small fish are gonna take your bait. Top water is just spectacular in the summertime, but tell me what your favorites are, John.
Well, this time of year, really, you can probably catch fish on just about any kind of bait. Some of the more, like you said, I always have a topwater rigged on a rod, one because it's just I think it's just fun. There's nothing like a topwater strike of a smallmouth. Various topwaters, all of the whopper plopper is all the rage now, but any type of small topwater bait, whether it's a walk-the-dog style, a popper, or even like a propeller bait like the whopper plopper, those can all be effective. A white spinner bait, or a buzz bait rather, has been one of my go-to baits for many, many years.
Oh, yeah.
Caught a lot of nice smallmouth on the white buzz bait.
Tiny torpedo, the old tiny torpedo. Yep.
That's been a standby for years.
Decades.
And decades, and will continue to be.
Number 9 Rapala happens to be my favorite in gold.
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
There's a lot of the standbys will still work, even though newer models.
Oh, sure.
There's always something new to come out, but the old standbys will continue to catch fish.
You have to have something new to catch the fishermen first.
That's right, and everybody's always looking for a better mousetrap. But, the top waters are generally better in the early morning and evening hours, particularly when there's insect hatches coming off in the evening. That tends to get the fish, looking up a little more. But don't overlook it during the middle of the day. I've caught, a number of nice smallmouth, during the day, hot daylight hours, particularly on shady banks, around wood cover, you'll find some bigger smallmouth. And
evening is when to break out the fly rod.
Yes, that's a lot of fun, too. You can use poppers. You can,
store stuff. Do you still experience the what they call the white fly or the white fly? White Miller hatch?
Yeah, they call it the white Miller. It's a large whitish color mayfly that hatches typically during the month of July and sometimes into early August. And the hatches are not as prolific as they were years ago.
I mean, it used to look like a snowstorm, a blizzard.
Yeah, on certain nights I still see it pretty strong.
Mm-hmm.
But they in general are not as, the hatch is not as prolific as it was
right.
years ago.
Yeah, but any light colored bait on a fly rod, you know.
Why the, you know, white color poppers or the white buzz bait is, you know, that there's a lot of light colored mayflies other than the
colors
also
sure.
that hatch. And,
sure.
So that in the evening, those seem particularly good. And then when the fish, you know, don't want to come up on the surface, usually throwing, you know, a variety of other baits, usually some type of soft plastic,
yep.
Lightweight jig or the various stick worms that are out now, whether it's rigged, you know, like Texas rigged or rigged the wacky style, can be extremely effective.
Yep. Wacky style, wacky bait. And for the fly angler, it's going to be the, a muddler minnow or it's a woolly booger in particular in black because of the helgramite population.
Right. Yep. There's, yeah. You know,
unless you want to throw your Dobson fly, fly.
Yeah, one and the same.
Exactly. But I can't imagine trying to throw out a fly the size of a Dobson fly. Flying helgramite. Anyway.
Yeah, the other thing on the evenings, you know, if you're fishing and one of those lands on the back of your neck, it'll get your attention.
Yes, it will. No question about it. And for anybody that doesn't know what we're talking about, Google helgramite, H-E-L-L-G-R-A-M-M-I-T-E, and or Dobson fly. And, this is a nasty little creature that lives on the bottom of the lake, the streams out there under the rocks. They hang on with the little appendages on their tail, and then they catch their prey with their jaws that can give you a pretty nasty pinch, kind of like a bloodworm if you've ever been pinched by a bloodworm. This is kind of a caterpillar looking thing called a helgramite. And when they turn into a Dobson fly, it looks like a helgramite, with helicopter wings. I mean, they're just amazing looking animals. I love watching them, but I do not want one to land on me. Thank you, John. Appreciate that. So, all right. Walleye. Hello, John.
Well, the
walleye.
Okay. The walleye, have spread throughout. They can be caught just about any portion of the river now, but the best area for walleyes will be from Dam 5 near Clear Spring down to about Point of Rocks.
Right.
And the population has recently increased. And
really?
We have...
That's good to know.
Well, in large part, the increase is due to renewed stocking efforts by the department. And these fish have been marked in a manner that we can... During our fall surveys, when we collect a subsample of the young of the year walleye, or the walleye that were produced that spring, or stocked that spring, we can identify the hatchery fish.
Otolith markings?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And, so during the last, we've, done this for the last 5 years, and on average, about half of the young of year walleye are hatchery fish. And
nice.
The other half are naturally reproduced fish.
Mm-hmm.
That's a clear indication that our stocking efforts have had an impact on the population and the year classes. And
right.
Numbers are currently very good in the river. You know, our stocking efforts this spring were hampered by high water and flooding.
Yes.
So
that river has a tendency to do that, doesn't it?
Yes. Well, in the last few years, we've had particularly bad high water events that occurred during some critical reproduction times for the game fish. So, but right now, the population is higher than it's been the last few years. There's a lot of nice fish out there. And,
what's the size limit on the walleyes in the river?
The size limit is there's a 15-inch minimum size that is year-round.
Right.
And then on the Potomac in the spring from January 1 through April 15th, there's a 20-inch maximum size. And that regulation is to protect those larger females
that are spawning,
and,
sure,
until they can release their eggs and spawn in mm-hmm. the spring, because they tend to be concentrated in the spring, and you know, a lot of those fish could be removed prior to spawning.
Sure. Got it. Well, I've been up there with you during that time where the slot limited is in effect, and you've always put me on some fish. I mean, we haven't had the banner days, but we've had some great days, and just being out there on the rivers is good. And then, of course, those walleye, you know, you're Mr. Catch and Release on those. I like to take one home to put on the table from time to time. So that's a little bit of a difference, but you know what? If there's plenty of fish, and it's a good sustainable population, it doesn't hurt to take a couple home to eat every now and then.
Well, they're very good eating fish, and that's you know, frequently their downfall is they're very good table fare.
Exactly. Tell our listeners a little bit about your favorite techniques for walleyes on the river up there.
Well, walleyes, again, that's another fishery that's a year-round fishery. It's
right.
most popular with anglers in the spring and winter, actually.
Right.
And it's good because they give fishermen an opportunity to target a fish that's more active in the cold water, even at times when the smallmouth are less active.
So, right.
But through the seasons, various jig presentations and crankbaits will be effective.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of suspending jerkbaits can be particularly effective. With long pauses during when the water's cold, you want one that'll get down deep enough. Walleyes, unlike smallmouth that may come up to the surface and hit something, walleyes don't do that.
Right.
They're very much oriented to the bottom, and your bait should be pretty close to the bottom. It doesn't have to always be on it, but
right.
it needs to be pretty close to it. So crankbaits that'll dive deep enough to bang along the bottom or suspend just above the bottom are effective. And at various jig presentations, using eighth or quarter ounce jig, depending mm-hmm. on the depth and the flow, and any number of plastic trailers can be effective from,
sure.
Like Bass Assassins or Flukes or, you know, those type of trailers to the always popular grub or twister tail.
Sure.
A 3 or 4 inch grub on an 1/8 ounce jig is deadly on walleye and is effective throughout the season.
Yep. So if you only had one bait, it would be that one.
Right. If I had to have one bait for walleye, it would be an 1/8 ounce jig with some type of trailer on it.
Sure. If you only had one thing to choose from, I mean, just fill your tackle box with 1/8 and 1/4 ounce jig heads and, white and chartreuse twister tails and flukes, and head out to the river, and you should be okay.
Yes, so, you will catch something.
No question, whether it's a smallmouth or a walleye, I've even had channel cats hit crankbaits and twisters and things like that. So they're also
Absolutely.
Active. And if you get a hold of a 20-pound flathead, by the way, we didn't cover the baits for flathead. I mean, you kind of don't like them, but if you want to get some taken out of there, they're certainly edible.
The flatheads are actually, I think, of the catfish that I've eaten, the best eating catfish. It's a very flaky white meat. Very good.
Okay. What's the bait for them? What's the top bait? Cut bait?
Well, since they're predators, live bait is usually the best option.
Okay.
Live bait is the best option, but dead bait or cut bait also works very well.
Mm-hmm.
And they are occasionally caught on lures. Anglers have reported catching some very large catfish over 20 pounds on just what we mentioned. Fishing for smallmouth with an 1/8 ounce jig with a white grub on it.
If it looks like something to eat, they're going to eat it too.
Right. But that's not the best approach. Typically, the best approach is a live bait of some sort, whether it's fished on the bottom or at night. You can even suspend them under floats and drift down the river. And flatheads, particularly at night when they're feeding, will come up off the bottom to take bait.
Mm-hmm. Good. Good to know. Good to know. John, we're going to take our second break here and our final break. We're going to do that, and then we'll come back to you for our final segment and talk a little bit more. And I think we'll wrap it up with muskies, if that's okay with you.
That's very good.
All right. All right. We'll be right back here as soon as I tell the folks about Good Times Crab House and Crab Feast Catering. Look, crab and seafood lovers, you know, we just want to know, are you ready for some good times? Do you like having good times? Well, who doesn't? Spurry family's been in the seafood business on the Eastern Shore. Over 35 years, they have the wholesale business, and then they have that Chesapeake Landing restaurant, St. Michael's, one of my favorites. Good Times Crab House, located at 8001 Liberty Road, simply means that the Spurry family has brought their expertise from the Eastern Shore in preparing seafood and steamed crabs to Baltimore at 8001 Liberty Road, just 1 minute off Beltway Exit 18. They're now open. They serve you the freshest Maryland crabs, local oysters, fresh-picked crab meat, Gulf shrimp, a variety of fresh fish, and even Alaska snow crab legs when they have them. And you know what? Good Times Crab Feast Catering can cater your event. If you have, you know, fire company, family reunion, church event, any group, you want to have a crab feast, give Good Times Crab Feast Catering a call at 443-657-7187. It's also the number to call for your order of takeout crabs at Good Times Crab House on Liberty Road, 443-657-7187. You will be glad you did. Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, is just off Beltway, exit number 9. If you're ready to go crabbing, they have all your crabbing supplies. They've got all the crab traps with the open top. You know, you can stack them all up. They've got the trot lines. They've got the lines. They've got the bait, the live and frozen crab bait if you like it. Well, of course, they've got chicken necks and salted eel if you need that. They've got the L-Wive if you want to use the L-Wive for the crab bait too, or chumming, or, you know, they've got all that, the chum for the rockfish. Any type of rod and reel you want for any type of fishing, they can hook you up. St. Croix, Ugly Stick, Fluger, Shakespeare, pen reels. You know, if you need it, you just go in, you check out the case and see what they've got to recommend. All at Clyde Sports Shop. Of course, they'll wind line, they'll fix your reels, they'll lube them, they'll repair them, they'll fix your rod tip, they'll wind on a new guide for you. All the service that you need for fishing, and all the terminal tackle too, all the hooks and weights and bobbers and swivels that you need. All at Clyde Sports Shop. And don't forget their 24-hour, 7-day-a-week fishing hotline, 410-247-3474, or 24/7 fish. That's all you have to remember. The regular phone number, 410-242-6108, 410-242-6108 for Clyde's Sports Shop in Lansdowne. This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex spray-on bedliners. Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number 1 and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt it. Choose the Linex Premium or the Linex Extra. Both look great. Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, you get it. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800, 410-455-0800, Linex.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes. Even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
And now more from Alan Ellis and the Outdoorsman Radio Show on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
I heard this. All right, we're back with John Mollican. Good morning, John. Again, talking about the freshwater portion of the Potomac River. And of course, you do all the non-tidal rivers as well, from east to west in Maryland, and the freshwater fishing. Part of your beat, Deep Creek Lake as well, John?
Yes, it is.
Okay, good, good, good. We love it up there. We got married up there and didn't get to do any fishing, but, you know, we like Deep Creek Lake. We like to get away to Deep Creek. So it's always nice to hear from the folks up there as well. And we just got an email here earlier from Dawn up at Deep Creek. They had an encounter with a rattlesnake in their yard. So how about that? I don't know if you've encountered any up along the river or up in your travels in western Maryland or not.
I have not, but I always keep my eyes open.
Nah.
Watch where I step. Oh,
always a good idea. Yes, sir. Well, let's wind up the show here talking about the biggest predatory fish in the river, and that's the muskellunge or muskie.
Yes, the muskie, we only have one population of muskie in Maryland, and that is in the non-tidal Potomac. That fishery, that resource is not a stocked resource that is, sustained solely through natural reproduction. The fishery has become very popular with a select group of anglers. Typically muskies are sought by a smaller dedicated group of anglers who typically have a love-hate relationship with them because
sure.
They can be one of the most exciting fish to catch, but they can also be frustratingly difficult to catch. And through our angler creel diary program, the average time it takes to catch a muskie is in between 10 and 13 hours.
Wow.
of fishing. So if it's if it's nonstop action you want, muskies may not be for you, but they are an exciting fish, and they do get large, and they are found, there's been accounts of them all the way down into the District of Columbia, portion of the river.
Wow, didn't know that.
As well as all the way up towards, up towards Cumberland.
Right.
But the primary area where the population is most well established is from Allegheny County down through Washington County into Frederick County.
Mm-hmm. You surprised me about the D.C. Figure there. I wasn't aware that there was anything down that way, but that's even better.
Well, it's a one-off
type of deal.
Yeah, it's a they've been reported, but it's not a consistent
right.
area that you would catch them.
Sure, sure. Okay, well, they're big. Every now and then we see a new state records established, and I can't recall what it is right now. You would know better than I. But pretty big fish. I mean, they get big. They get 50 inches. They get, 30 pounds, 40 pounds. But I'm not sure that's how big we have in Maryland, and I have to check. But they can be pretty voracious, and they can be pretty exciting when one grabs your line. What are the techniques for them?
Well, again, they're another year-round fishery, although the summertime is probably a time when the temperatures get warm. They are not as active
right.
in the main river, but since their primary prey is typically sucker species, ball fish, they typically will take fish that are 6 to 12 inches long.
Right.
So a variety of crankbaits that mimic that bait fish, those bait fish, will be effective. Also, inline spinners or spinner baits can be very good, particularly with muskie. One of the name of the game is to find them. There's a lot of water out there that doesn't have muskie. So
right.
in order to find them, using a bait that can cover water quickly, particularly during when the water's a little bit warmer, is inline spinners. But they can be caught on...
You're talking like a great big MEP spinner, like a number 5 MEPs or something like that?
Yeah, or muskie pike-sized spinner bait.
Right.
Also works really well.
Yep.
And they're exciting. They will take topwater baits.
I've caught one. up at High Point Lake in Pennsylvania, right across the line. But it was about 15 inches long. That's the only muskie I've ever caught. So,
well, maybe we'll have to fix that.
I need to get out there and target muskies. I love fishing. I love walleye fishing with you. Don't get me wrong. But I do want to take that endeavor someday and come out and do some, muskie fishing with you as well. So,
The thing with muskies is they do, you know, is the proper handling. They do have sharp teeth.
No question.
Being a large fish, they can be very hard to handle. So, you know, would recommend that folks have we use very large landing nets with kind of a square or flat bottom of the landing net. So when you net the fish, which makes it a lot easier to get the fish and you get them alongside the boat, it acts as a live well outside of your boat where the fish remains in the water, where you can then remove the hooks.
Right.
You always want to be prepared and have either those hook out tools or a very sturdy, large needle nose pliers.
Sure.
So that you can get the hooks. And one thing we also carry is a small pair of bolt cutters for cutting hooks.
Well, that makes sense. Sure.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, you'll have a fish that, particularly when the water's warm, you want to keep the fish in the water as long as possible and remove the hooks as quickly as possible to reduce the stress to the fish and also without damaging the fish.
Right.
And sometimes the best way to do that is to take the bolt cutters, cut the hooks out, then use the pliers to remove the remaining hook.
That makes sense.
And you can buy fairly inexpensively boxes of replacement hooks, and with split ring pliers, just replace the hook.
Sure, sure.
And with the, we've documented that, between 40% and probably nearly half of the muskies are caught sometime during their lifetime. So it's definitely a resource that's, more than one angler will enjoy the same fish, but in order to do that, you know, care has to be taken when the fish are released and have the proper tools to ensure that they survive.
Perfect. Perfect. John, there's the end of the show. That's the music that's just started up underneath those